morning
comes once again from the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 18. Exodus chapter 18, and I will be reading the verses 1 through 12. Exodus chapter 18, and I will be reading the verses 1 through 12. Let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy, infallible, and inerrant word. Now Jethro, the priest of Midian, and father-in-law of Moses, heard of everything God had done for Moses and for his people Israel, and how the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt. After Moses had sent away his wife Zipporah, his father-in-law Jethro received her and her two sons. One son was named Gershom, for Moses said, "I have become an alien in a foreign land." And the other was named Eliezer, for he said, "My father's God was my helper. He saved me from the sword of Pharaoh." Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, together with Moses' sons and wife, came to him in the desert, where he was camped near the mountain of God. Jethro had sent word to him, "I, your father-in-law, Jethro, am coming to you with your wife and her two sons." So Moses went out to meet his father-in-law and bowed down and kissed them. They greeted each other, and they went into the tent. Moses told his father-in-law about everything the Lord had done to Pharaoh and the Egyptians for Israel's sake, and about all the hardships they had met along the way, and how the Lord had saved them. Jethro was delighted to hear about all the good things the Lord had done for Israel in rescuing them from the hand of the Egyptians. He said, "Praise be to the Lord, who rescued you from the hand of the Egyptians and of Pharaoh, and who rescued the people from the hand of the Egyptians. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all the other gods, for he did this to those who had treated Israel arrogantly." Then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, brought a burnt offering and other sacrifices to God, and Aaron came with all the elders of Israel to eat bread with Moses' father-in-law in the presence of God. Thus the reading of God's word this morning from the book of Exodus. One of the first questions we need to ask about our text is, why is this passage in here? Why this story of Jethro? The Israelites have been moving right along in their wilderness journey. They have received manna and quail from heaven. They have received water from a rock. They have fought the Amalekites and have won. And now we come to this passage in Exodus 18 about Moses' family. It's like God is telling us of a family reunion. What are we to learn from this story and from this passage? Is this a lesson on how to treat your in-laws? That we must bow to them? That we must greet them with kisses? It would seem that God has a greater message than that. That God has something else for us to know and to see. That Jethro, the father-in-law of Moses, plays an important part in the life of Israel. When the history of the Israelite nation is written, God includes the important parts and leaves out the parts which do not have to do with his plan. Jethro is part of God's plan. And the role that Jethro plays is really described in the last part of this chapter. We read in the last part of this chapter that it is Jethro, the father-in-law of Moses, who gives Moses advice on how he should judge and rule the people of Israel. Moses is overloaded with work. The people are coming to him to judge every one of their disputes. The lines are long. And so Jethro gives Moses advice. Jethro of Midian, a foreigner, gives Moses advice. Moses, who has spoken with Pharaoh, the most powerful man in the world, and confronted him and made demands. Moses, who pronounced the plagues upon the Egyptians. Moses, who held up his hands so that Israel could pass through the Red Sea. Moses, who held up his hands so the Amalekites would be defeated. Now, this Moses receives advice from a foreigner, Jethro of Midian. Well, in chapter 18, there's two sermons. There's part one and there's part two. Part one is the first 12 verses. And you have to understand part one before you understand part two, which is next week's sermon. And so the question we have to understand today, or to ask, is who is this Jethro? Jethro of Midian, who gives Moses advice on how to organize God's people. Who is he that he can speak with Moses? Who is he that he is able to give wise advice, and that Moses listens to him, and that Moses bows to him? Who is this Jethro character? And that's part one of our sermon this morning. Part two will be next week. Who is this Jethro? Jethro is one of the most mysterious people in all of the scriptures. He is mysterious for a number of reasons. One of those reasons is that Jethro's name changes. If you remember in Exodus chapter 2, Moses lived with his father-in-law. In Exodus chapter 2, Moses has run away from Egypt. He goes to Midian and he meets some girls at the well. And he helps these girls as he fights off their enemies so that they can water their father's flock. And Jethro gets to know Moses. And Jethro gives one of his daughters to Moses. Only his name is not Jethro. His name is Reuel. In Exodus 2, we read that his name is Reuel. In Exodus 18, we read that his name is Jethro. Why the name change? We aren't sure. Many people think that Jethro was his personal name and Reuel was his tribal name, which was quite often done in those days as people had different names. But whatever the reason, one thing we do know for sure is that the author of our text wants to make it crystal clear to us that this is the same person. His name is different, but eight different times in these first 12 verses of this chapter, he is described as the father-in-law of Moses. Eight times it is repeated. Eight times the author wants us to see this and know this. This is the same person. This is not a mistake in the scriptures from Reuel to getting the name wrong now with Jethro. God wants us to know that this is the same person, and God is using this person. But still, it makes him mysterious. Another reason that Jethro is a mysterious character in the scriptures is that he is not mentioned in the New Testament. Perhaps you remember the story of Abraham. In Genesis 14, Abraham is walking along and he meets a man named Melchizedek, priest of Salem. Abraham goes to this Melchizedek. Melchizedek blesses Abraham, the father of all the living, God's chosen person. Melchizedek blesses Abraham, and Abraham gives him 10%. Of all that he owns. Melchizedek is also a mysterious figure. But the book of Hebrews tells us more about Melchizedek. In Hebrews we read in Hebrews chapter 11 that Melchizedek was a priest of God. that his lineage to be a priest was greater than that of Levi, which qualified him to be a priest of God. Melchizedek is not as mysterious as Jethro, because as a priest, we know further who he is. But in Exodus 18, verse 1, we read that Jethro is a priest of Midian. He also is a priest. But where did he come from? Is he a priest of the Most High God, or is he a priest of the gods of Midian? That is one of the mysteries that surrounds Jethro. If only we had a New Testament passage to point us to so that we could understand him better. But we don't. But yet there are many, many indications that Jethro, who gives Moses advice, who helps God's people Israel, does know the true God, that he is a priest of the Most High God. What tells us this? Well, you remember his first name in Exodus 2. He is Reuel, and Reuel means a friend of God. He is not an enemy of the Most High God, but he is actually a friend of God as we first know him in Exodus 2. As a friend of God, he helps Moses. He has Moses bury one of his daughters. He knows that Moses has left Egypt. He knows that Moses goes back to Egypt to rescue the people. Jethro is aware of God's plan. Jethro is aware of what Moses is doing. And Jethro endorses it. Notice further in verse 1 of chapter 18, we read that Jethro is the priest of Midian. He is the father-in-law of Moses. And what has he heard? He heard of everything God had done for Moses and for the people Israel, and how the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt. Jethro hears what God has done. It doesn't tell us that he's heard what Moses has done and how Moses has overcome and how Moses has saved his people. Jethro has heard what God has done. It doesn't tell us it's Moses' God, what Moses' God has done. It tells us what God, the maker of heaven and earth, has done. What he has done for Moses, what he has done for Israel, how he has led Israel out of Egypt. Jethro, priest of Midian, knows the true God. Well, after coming and hearing what has happened and what God has done, Jethro goes to meet God's people in verse 5. Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, together with Moses' sons and his wife, came to him in the desert, where he was camped near the mountain of God. Jethro had sent word to him, "I am your father-in-law, Jethro. I am coming to you with your wife and her two sons." Jethro has heard. Jethro knows God's people are out there, and he goes to greet them. Now remember, last week there were a group of people that also heard that God's people were camped there. The Amalekites had heard about this, and they did not see it as a story of God's salvation and God's working with his people. But they attacked those people. They tried to destroy those people. They saw it as a threat to their livelihood. But not Jethro of Midian. He hears of this, and he goes to see God's people and to see what God has done. And while he goes to Moses, he brings Moses' family, his wife and his two sons, which he has not seen for years. And you would think that the next thing we would read in our text is Moses' family reunion. How he met his wife and endorsed her because he had not seen her for so long. What he said to his sons that were born to him. But we read nothing about Moses' immediate family. What we read next is what Moses does with his father-in-law. Verse 7. So Moses went out to meet his father-in-law, and he bowed down and kissed him. They greeted each other, and they went into the tent. Moses goes out to greet his father-in-law. Moses, who has stood up to Pharaoh. Moses, who has given water from the rock and whose arms defeated the Amalekites. Moses bows to a priest of Midian. He bows down and he kisses him. He greets him. And together they go into the tent. And in verse 8 we read that Moses tells his father-in-law about everything that the Lord had done to Pharaoh and the Egyptians for Israel's sake. And all about the hardships they had met along the way and how the Lord had saved them. Moses tells Jethro the salvation story again. How many times does our text tell us about this salvation story? It is repeated in verse 1. It is repeated again in verse 8. It is told to us several times in these 12 verses. The author does not want us to focus on the family reunion. The author wants us to focus on the salvation story. Moses has told him what God has done. This story that Jethro hears is the salvation story of the Old Testament. We in the New Testament know of Christ. We know of how God has saved us from our sins through His Son. But in the Old Testament, they did not have the complete picture. What they saw was God saving His people. God had saved Israel. God had punished their enemies. God delivered them from slavery and through the Red Sea. And God continued to take care of His people. At this point in the history of the world, this is the salvation story. And this is what Jethro, priest of Midian, hears. Well, how does Jethro respond? He could have said, Moses, you left your daughter. You left my daughter. You left your two sons. How could you put your priorities for this slave people and for your own glory instead of taking care of your own family business? But Jethro says nothing about that. In verse 9, we read that Jethro is delighted. He hears about all what God has done for Israel and how He rescued them from the hand of the Egyptians. He takes delight in what God has done. He takes delight in the salvation story that God has given to Israel and to Moses. Jethro sees beyond this present world. Jethro sees what God can do for His people. He sees the importance of this people and the importance of the salvation event for all the world. He sees what the Amalekites do not. He sees what God is doing and the salvation He provides for His people. Jethro is delighted. And in verse 10, we read that he bursts out in praise. Praise be to the Lord, who rescued you from the hand of the Egyptians and of Pharaoh, and who rescued the people from the hand of the Egyptians. The same story is told again. Jethro makes the connection, the author tells us. He praises God not for what Moses has done. He praises God for what God has done. For the salvation He has provided for His people. How He has delivered them from their enemies. And in verse 11, it tells us that it has confirmed for Jethro what he already knew. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all the other gods, for He did this to those who had treated Israel arrogantly. He testifies by knowing this salvation event that God has provided salvation, that God is almighty. by knowing and hearing of this story, he believes it, and it confirms his faith in God all the more. And he knows that God will protect his people. For the last phrase tells us he did this to those who had treated Israel arrogantly. Those who mistreat this people, the people of God's promise to Abraham, Jethro knows, will be treated and destroyed. So what does Jethro, the priest of Midian, do? Verse 12, Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, brought a burnt offering and other sacrifices to God. And Aaron came with all the elders of Israel to eat bread with Moses' father-in-law in the presence of God. Up until this point in Israel's history, they have not experienced sacrifices. Moses has asked Pharaoh that they could go out and make sacrifices for 3 days in the wilderness, and Pharaoh refused. But nowhere till this point in our story have we read of sacrifices that Israel makes. Who makes the first sacrifice? Jethro, priest of Midian. He knows how he must respond to God's salvation. He knows that blood must be shed. He knows, as a priest of the Most High God, that God's people are sinners, that he is a sinner, that even though God has provided salvation, that salvation must provide for him deliverance from sin. He goes and offers the first sacrifices so that Moses and Aaron and the elders of Israel can witness what must be done. You see, God is giving us this story because he is showing us the development of the people of Israel and what they must know and what they must learn. They have not moved on from Rephidim. You remember at Rephidim, at the beginning of verse 17, they received water from the rock, and they learned that God will take the curse for them. At Rephidim, the Amalekites attack them, and they learn that they must keep fighting their sins. And now, at Rephidim, they learn that even though God has taken the penalty for them, even though they must continue to fight and God will give them the victory, they still are sinners and they must make sacrifices. And Jethro, priest of Midian, comes into their lives to show them what that means. God has saved them. He has brought them out of Egypt and he has rescued them, but they are still sinners. And they still need his grace. Because this story has not been fulfilled. And that story begins at Bethlehem. For the salvation story of the Old Testament is fulfilled at Bethlehem. The Lord Jesus Christ comes into the world. He comes to rescue sinners from slavery. He comes to deliver God's people. He comes as the priest, the high priest, greater than Jethro, greater than Moses, greater than Aaron, greater than all in our story. And he is the one who provides for his people. But notice something else about Jethro, priest of Midian. The Amalekites were descendants of Esau. Esau was a son of Jacob. Esau was a son of Isaac. But Esau rejected the covenant, and his sons rejected the covenant. They see God's people, and they fight against them, and they seek to destroy them. But Jethro is a descendant of Abraham's, one of Abraham's wives. Jethro is not of the direct covenant line from the line of Sarah, of Jacob, of Isaac, and of Jacob, but Jethro is also of Abraham. And when Jethro sees God's people, when he hears what God has done, he does not see it as a threat as the Amalekites did. He sees it as a blessing. He sees it as what God is doing in history and what God is doing for his people. And he, as a Gentile, has sacrifices with those people. He does not fight them. He believes it. He gives praise to God for what he has done. And as a Gentile, he comes in and worships the Lord with them. He is not of Jacob. He is not of Isaac, yet he believes. In the New Testament salvation story that begins at Bethlehem, it is not just for one people. It is not just for Jews. It is for Gentiles. It is for us. When we hear this salvation story as Gentiles, we must not reject it. We must embrace it. We must give praise to God for what he has done through our Savior, the Lord Jesus. As Gentiles, we are like Jethro, not of the chosen ethnic line, but of those who have come from the outside, who believe in Christ, who has changed the world. We come to know this salvation story. We come to believe this salvation story. We know the greater sacrifice that he has made, that our sins are forgiven, and we are at peace with him. We are not fighting as the Amalekites, but we join with him in peace. Who is Jethro, priest of Midian? He is a priest of the Most High God. He comes to God's people to give them advice. He is qualified as one who knows and as one who believes. And in part two, we will read and hear what Jethro does. But let us, like him, give praise to our God for the coming of his Son, for the salvation story that he has given us, that we share with others. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for this story of Jethro. We thank you, Lord, for what it means for us as your people. For we, Lord, also are Gentiles. For you have opened our hearts to believe this and to know this and to give praise to you for this. Help us to know, Lord, that even though we are part of this salvation story, we still must know that our Savior intercedes for us, that we are still sinners, that he forgives us of our sins, that his sacrifice is once for all, and that we are made clean. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to believe this, to know this, to live this out in our lives. And we pray that as we anticipate his coming again, that we may live for his glory. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.